Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, if you open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Today we're going to talk about Pentecost power. Now, I'm going to be very direct about the Holy Spirit and his involvement and work in your life. And the Holy Spirit, since the day of Pentecost, has come down to empower us both personally and publicly for service. Personally, for our strength and our standing, but also publicly for our service and our support to the things of God. Now, it says in Acts chapter 2, the initial account of the day of Pentecost, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It didn't say it was wind. It says it was a sound like a rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. 120 was in the upper room. And they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's read verse 4 together. If you can have it on the screen, just read it off the screen. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is the birth time or birthday of the church. This is the birth of the church. And so they need to be that everybody that was in the beginning church, the New Testament church, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said to them in Luke that they should not go and do anything until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So as a Christian, born-again Christian, we shouldn't really venture out into a whole lot of things without being filled with the Holy Spirit also. And if you didn't know it, today is Pentecost Sunday. And today we're going to describe the power of Pentecost and how pertinent it is in your individual life. So when you think of the name of Jesus Christ, for most, the word Christ is simply Jesus' last name or a title. It holds no weight or importance in their mind, and yet it's so much more. Now, Christ, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in the Greek is the word for anointing or anointed one. Now, the word Messiah in the Hebrew is the same meaning and power, has the same meaning and power. So in the Old Testament was called Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Christ, Jesus Christ. That means he was anointed for something. See, to anoint something is to pour, rub, and smear all over. God poured, rubbed, and smeared all over Jesus a supernatural ability to bring mankind back into relationship with him. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, this verse gives us some details about Jesus' anointing, but he himself gives more details in Luke chapter 4. Now, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So if you're taking notes, write these three things down. Jesus was anointed to prosper others, heal, and liberate, first of all, to give freedom. To give freedom, spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. Now think about it. If Jesus is anointed to give freedom, then the gospel of Jesus Christ should bring freedom to you. Amen. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally. And some people struggle with relationships that are bondage. But in Christ, there's no more bondage. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. He said he's anointed to give sight, number two. That's revelation. That means to remove oppression and depression. Now, guys, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, so many people today are struggling with depression. Despair, discouragement. They ready to quit on life. They ready to quit on their marriage. They ready to quit on relationship. They ready to quit their job. They ready to quit life in general because people are suicidal and homicidal, as we've seen in the recent news. People are homicidal and suicidal. That means they have no sight. They don't see a better future. They don't see a better road down ahead. So they say, I got to do something to end this misery. But Jesus came to give sight, revelation, to remove oppression and depression, to remove spiritual dullness and density and darkness. Number three, reclaim, restore, and reinstate man's previous rights and authority over God's creation. I'll say it again. Reclaim, restore, and reinstate man's previous rights and authority over God's creation. So like Jesus, we've been completely covered with God's supernatural ability to accomplish only what God can do. So it's God's super on your natural, enabling, equipping, and empowering you to become supernatural. And that is done through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. So we are anointed with the Holy Spirit, and we are to receive power. Now, every one of us in this room should have on our door, as we're going out for business or work or whatever we're going to do that day, don't leave home powerless. And we should have, now I always kid about this, we should have a power meter that the brothers and sisters that are in our connection and care team should have up so people can walk on and we can see low on power, low on power, low on power. Now, everybody has one of these, right? Everybody have one of these? The smartphone. Now, they say, I don't know for certain because I haven't done it all, but they say these smartphones can handle up to 230,000 apps. 230,000 apps. But what good is this phone if it's not charged? Can I make a phone call? Can I text on it? Can I use any applications on it? Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, in Christ, there's 130-something applications. There's over 134, I think it was about 134 applications of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, just like your apps on your smartphone. But they're not activated unless they're activated under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. There are in Christ applications. And it takes the Holy Spirit to activate those apps to empower you to apply the power to give freedom, the power to restore sight, the power, come on now, to reclaim what rightfully belongs to you in Christ. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. I mean, this phone is no good spiritually charged, not charged. If the battery is gone, all the applications are dormant and they're not used. If your spiritual battery is down and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, all those applications are dormant and unable for you to use. Are you listening to me? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. So we have been created and anointed by the Lord for such a time as this. Now, I know I heard somebody say it. Pastor, you know what they're doing? They're killing people in school. These crazy folks shooting people in school. The mass shootings all over the place. They got more virus stuff going on. People getting sick, but, you know, if they took the shot or if they didn't take the shot, they'd get all kind of stuff going on. Wait a minute, Pastor. This world is going crazy. You have been created and anointed for such a time as this. Somebody say hallelujah. So you've been empowered with Pentecost for a purpose. So there's an anointing on you, which is for service, and there's an anointing in you for specific situational and sudden things that you need to know, do, and work through in life. Now, I'll explain both of them, because some people get confused or they try to mix the two up. Now, turn to Acts 1 and 8. Look at Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, the Spirit comes upon you for a purpose. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So that means you're supposed to live like Jesus. Serve like Jesus. Come on now. Pray like Jesus. You're supposed to be like Jesus as you're serving in the kingdom. You need the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was on Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit is alive in you and comes upon you. It's like Clark Kent going into that proverbial phone booth and becoming Superman. You become super saint with the power of the Holy Spirit. Serving without the Holy Spirit, without activating the anointing of the Holy Spirit in and upon your life, is like playing football without a uniform. You're going to get hit. You're going to get hurt really quick. Are you listening to me? So this is the anointing in Acts 1:8 and power of the Holy Spirit on you for service as a born-again believer and Christ follower. So our Father God empowers us to fulfill his purpose and his plans. So he says, here's your assignment, here's your appointment, but he gives you equipment or anointing to fulfill that assignment and appointment. Amen. Now here's the other part of it in 1 John 2. This is the anointing in you. Now 1 John 2:20 and 27, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. Everybody say, I have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. You know all things that you need to know. Verse 27, we skip down to verse 27. 1 John 2:20 and then verse 27. But the anointing, everybody say anointing, which you have received from him abides in you. And you need not that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, but just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So this is the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit in you for strength. Why do you need strength? You need strength to withstand temptations. Temptations come at everybody, including your pastor, yours truly. So they come at everybody. Temptations to sin. Temptations to let bad things enter in. Now, the temptations, the devil will try to get you to commit them or omit something you're supposed to be doing. And so there's always a thought, an idea, a suggestion from the enemy to tell you, go do this or don't do that. And he knows God told you to do it, but he tells you not to do it. That's still a temptation to sin by omitting something. Committing something, that means he tells you to do something that you know and he knows it's wrong. Gonna put you on the dark side. So he said, go do that. You need strength to resist temptation. Amen. I remember when I was in college as a young new Christian, born again, spirit filled, love God, man, on fire for God. But I'm watching all my brothers and sisters who were on the fence. They didn't work on this anointing within them. So the anointing within helps your character. It helps your character. So a lot of them came out of, you know, the whole scene of drinking and drugs. We call it sex, drugs, and the rock and roll. They just excuse the expression, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but they were just whoring around on campus. Well, when he got saved, God washed them clean, cleaned them up. But how many know the devil wants to come back and steal what he lost? Most people lose from a counterattack than the original attack. So if he tempted you with alcohol before, he's going to come back and try to tempt you with it again. If he tempted you with illicit sex, illegal sex, immoral sex, he's going to do it again. And if he's going to tempt you with drugs and starting off with a little bit of ganja or marijuana, hash or whatever you want to call it, come on now. And then he's going to tempt you again. And I watched my brothers and sisters, bless their darling heart, they got tempted. Now they were in the church service shouting on Sunday, bucking. Ah. But on campus, they were sneaking, peeping, and creeping. And I'm saying, why are you going back? Man, I'm burning. I can't handle it. And I actually asked the Lord a long time, why is this going on? Why are these guys who genuinely got saved, born again, genuinely gave their heart to God, but all of a sudden, they sleeping with various women. They committing adultery. What happens? There's no strength to resist. They didn't work on the anointing within. They didn't yield to the anointing within. Some people, he went back to smoking dope, then snorting, stuffing their nose. Why? No strength to resist. See, God gave us everything we need in the person of the Holy Spirit to empower us for service, but to also embolden us with strength to resist temptations. You know, some of my buddies couldn't walk through the mall because they couldn't look without lusting. We didn't have YouTube and Facebook and everything today, TikTok, which is worse. I'm not on there a lot, but I'm sure it's worse of a temptation today. But guys were dropping like flies because they couldn't resist the lust problem. Y'all got quiet on me. But the spirit within, the anointing within, is for your character. And so these beautiful Christians, these beautiful young believers, peers of mine, prayed together, did church services together, prayed in the Holy Ghost together. Couldn't withstand a temptation when the pressure was on. Why? Because the anointing within was not developed. Now, the anointing on gives you so much intensity and heightened discernment that your body and your emotions are strong. And so I see these guys preach, prophesy, and move in the spirit like there's no tomorrow, because the anointing on is different. It's the same work of the Holy Spirit, but it's a different work. It's a dual work. There's an on you work and there's an in you work. Now, if your in you work is not built up, the on you work will cause you problems. And when I came in the ministry, I had other ministers who were young falling like flies because they preach and be so anointed preaching, but they get off the pulpit and want to smoke a joint or want to go sleep with a woman. Or in one case, a guy wanted to sleep with a man. Y'all here? Y'all good? Why are you doing that? Because their sensations, their flesh, their body, and their mind was so acutely tuned up and fired up that when they came down off of that anointing on them, it was like a drug addict who smoked crack or cocaine. They came off that high and they couldn't get high anymore. Why? Because they had no anointing within built up. Somebody say glory to God. Well, this will help. This is worth 1,000 hours of therapy. Hallelujah. If you get this. Hallelujah. Because you need to build up your anointing within you. God gave you specific situational strength, skill, and support to help you know what to do, help you navigate through your tough tests and your fiery trials. When you're tempted to doubt and run out on God, when you're tempted to say, I'm done, I don't want to be married no more, I'm going to get out of this some way, somehow, you're able to terminate that thought and stay committed to love and committed to covenant. Somebody say praise the Lord. I don't know why I'm on this. I'm stuck on this. So pray with me. Praise God. And you need specific knowledge. I tell the story when I was in college that I was not engaged, but I was in a sweetheart situation with another lady who was not my wife. Now, how many of you know the Holy Ghost and the Father God and the Lord Jesus are interested in who you hook up with? I had a call on my life. Everybody who's a Christian has a call on their life. And so you can't just haphazardly pick people. Amen. There's God-ordained relationships. I thought I was in one. Because she went to church and she buck and shout. Sister girl was from Chicago. Wasn't my wife at the time. I was a sophomore. And I was loving the Lord. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with this situation? And we had made a covenant vow of virginity. We weren't going to do anything premarital that would mess up. But on the side, she was messing up. So what did I do? Well, I liked her. And unfortunately, you know, my soul was kind of tied to her, but I needed to cut it off. So what did I need to do? I need to go into the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and get the anointing within me built up so I can just snip, sever that relationship. Because, see, the number one weapon that the enemy uses in your life as a Christian is poor relationships to distract you from the will of God, to disrupt you from progress in the things of God, to derail you from the purpose and the plan of God in your life. So sister girl had to go. So we snip, snip. So I had to, he emboldened me with strength, brother, to go up and say, we got to end this. Now, I didn't know later that she was goofing around, but the Holy Ghost has told me inside, you can't go any further in this relationship. You need to stop it. You need to cut it off. I was crying, no, Lord, no, no. It's good. Yeah. I worked all summer and bought a half-carat diamond pendant, you know, little necklace. You know, we were sweetheart couples and all this other stuff. So I said, no, I need to break this thing off. The Holy Spirit said, no, you need to break it off. You need to break it off. Well, when he says it, he anoints you to be able to do it. Oh, this will help somebody. Are you listening to me? And so I cut it off. Shed tears, but cut it off. And God healed my heart. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. And so, come to find out, she was messing around. I'd drop her off at a decent hour at the dorm, 8:30. And she'd go out at 9 o'clock and with somebody else. And, you know, she eventually ended up pregnant and ended up out of school. Now, I trust and hope she's doing okay today. We don't keep up with each other. I don't keep up with her at all. I don't know anything about what's going on in her life. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And so I come around my senior year, and I'm thinking, well, I just need to get through school and get on with my career and ministry. But the Holy Spirit, everybody said that, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit said, no, 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 no. You need a wife. I said, I do. He said, yeah, you do. You're not like Paul. Paul had the gift of celibacy. That means he didn't desire or have any cravings for a female companionship. Amen. Not everybody's like that. Jesus had that gift too, because he had only a short time to get things done. So he didn't need to. It's not a distraction, but it is time consuming when you have a spouse and a family and kids and all this other stuff. It takes up your time. How many of y'all can testify to that? Praise God. So I needed a partner in life, and God spoke to me through by the Holy Spirit through Genesis chapter 2. He said, I will make a helpmeet suitable for you. And I said, praise God. That's the Holy Spirit. And so he made it. And so here we go. I look. And then the Holy Spirit began to reveal her to me. Before we even dated, I knew she was going to be my wife. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. See, we're 1,000 times bigger and better on the inside than the outside. Now, some of us need to get that, because we're depending upon our natural strength, our academic understandings, our experiential knowledge, and all those things which limit you from God's anointing in and upon you. Everybody say, I'm 1,000 times bigger and better on the inside than I am on the outside. So the greater one, the mighty Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of you. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4 that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, one of the big purposes of Pentecostal power is to empower you to reach the lost. Now, here's a sad statistic, ladies and gentlemen. Barna Research, who does a lot of Christian church research studies, very expansive and very intensive and exhaustive studies of church and church activities and church trends, and they say one really sad statistic. They said most Christians, on average, only share their faith 1.5 times a year. That means they only share Christ or show Christ 1.5 times a year. That's the average in all of America. when we enjoy so many freedoms and liberties. They still hadn't put down the First Amendment, the Constitution. Amen. Second Amendment still in force, I think. So today, praise God. But, you know, that's one of the primary purposes the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Unto who? Unto the Lord and of the Lord in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Now, here's what Jesus said, Matthew 9:36. He said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Now, the three big ingredients for reaching a lost come from the person and power of the Holy Spirit in and upon us. Number one is love. Love for the lost is the first ingredient for reaching the lost. Do you love people? Some people say, I love God, but do you love people? We should all have a limitless capacity to love people of different ages, stages, and generations. Now, some people stop their love when someone's different or someone's difficult to them. And this world in this country is very divisive like that. It tries to make people think, don't like this kind of people or that kind of people, because they preach haterate. Right? But we have the capacity to love, and what the world needs is love. God kind of love. Not the world's definition of love. And then the next one is compassion. So the same compassion that moved Jesus can move you. Love is an action, and it is an ingredient that moves us to action. Compassion is love in action. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So people say, well, I don't want to be bothered with nobody. I just want to be in my house, be to myself, do my thing, and go home and don't bother nobody. Well, that's not who's in you. Who's in you is the Holy Spirit. Who's in you, what he put in you, is the love of God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. The first thing that happened after Pentecost, when they came out of the upper room, y'all know the story. They preached and they saw people saved. What should happen when the power of Pentecost is operating in our heart and life? We should be proclaiming Jesus. We should be preaching Jesus. We should be showing Jesus and sharing Jesus to a lost and dying world. Amen. The third thing, to reach the lost, you need passion for the lost. A passion for the lost develops when we have an unselfish concern for others that comes from looking at their needs rather than our wants. Romans 12:11 says this in the Voice translation, of the Bible. It says, do not slack in your faithfulness and hard work. Let your spirit be on fire, bubbling up, and boiling over as you serve the Lord. Bubbling up and boiling over. Everybody say, bubble up and boil over. Be on fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was with just this last Sunday afternoon. Only time this lady could meet, doing insurance business and sitting down with her, and she's talking about things, and she comes to find out I'm a pastor, and we're talking, and all of a sudden tears come from her eyes. because she doesn't know the Lord. Because see, when I before I go to an appointment, I pray in the Holy Ghost. I stir up the gift of God in me. Somebody say glory to God. And we're sitting at a Jim's restaurant, which I don't like Jim's anyway. But anyway, so I didn't eat. I just got water. Praise God. So anyway, not that it's bad or anything. But see, I didn't let that bother me because that person needed somebody, needed love. That person needed Jesus. So she's in a restaurant crying. Husband had just had a stroke. But the compassion of God and the passion for Jesus rose up. She wanted to know about the Holy Ghost. She said, I gave my heart to the Lord, but, you know, it seems like there's more. I said, there is more. There's another level and a deeper level of experience than just the shallow level that you've been on. And I began to introduce her to the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, well, I want to know more about that. She said, my mother does this, and it's so beautiful. But I want to be able to do this. She prays in tongues, she told. She prays in tongues. So I went out to the car, like I always keep. And I have books on why tongues. So I gave her the book. I said, well, when we meet next week, we're supposed to meet tomorrow. I said, we're gonna pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this has happened more than once. Another time we were in a house and we had done some business with the husband, wife, and the kids, and of course in that house, and he was frustrated, the guy was, and I began to tell him, even, you know, after we'd done that, I said, you need the Holy Spirit. He said, well, not everybody prays in tongues, right? I said, no, that's true, not everybody prays, but everybody can. So I began to talk to him about the Holy Spirit. I said, you were born again. You're a child of God, but you need to receive the Holy Spirit as a second gift of after your salvation. And, of course, he said, he got hungry. He said, yeah, I want that. So he got up and got on his knees and lifted his hands in his own house. We're on an insurance appointment. And I laid hands on him. He began to talk in tongues. His wife began to talk in tongues right there. Receive the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, glory to God. Praise God. Was in a house. I told you about that one. The lady was smoking. The whole house smelled like smoke. The couch smelled like smoke. I think the animal smelled like smoke. And you walk in. I'm like, okay. Praise God. But thank God for the Holy Spirit, greater is he who's in me. So before we finish up, I'm packing up my computer, packing up my papers and stuff. And she says to me, she says, how are you so close to God? And how do you know God like that? And I begin to preach who? The cross. Preach the blood. Preach about Jesus. And she began to cry. Tears just began running down her face. And then the woman who was in the house with her housemate was started crying. She's not even in an appointment. She's on the couch. She's crying her eyes out. And I said, you want to receive Jesus? She said, can I receive Jesus? I said, yes, you can. And she said, well, will I forget my husband if I receive Jesus when I go to heaven? He said, no. I said, no, you'll remember your husband. So her husband was deceased. She was a widow. And so we got straight up. Two ladies lived a hard life, difficult things in life, very dire circumstances, grabbed hands, grabbed my hand, and we led them to Jesus Christ. And the glory of God came in the house. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is on you for, to be a witness. Some people think the Holy Spirit is just in charge of goosebumps and making me feel good and making me lay out and making me just pray in tongues only. No, 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 no. Tongues are just a natural sign of a supernatural experience. They go together. Amen. But that's not the be-all, end-all. He empowers you for purpose. And the purpose is to reach the lost. Everybody who's filled with the Holy Spirit should be intentionally targeting people that you're going to believe to see come into the kingdom. Because see, these three motivations, love, compassion, passion for the lost, are of the heart and of the spirit. By faith, we form and fuel these motivations of hearts in the spirit. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible says in Romans 10:17. See, passion for the lost comes from hearing the truth. God wants the lost. He wants souls to be saved. There's people dying every day. When we show and share Christ with our faith in Christ to others, we should preach the goodness of God to the lost. Amen. As a church, we teach and preach the reality and truth of hell to the saints. That's why we're going to go back to teaching a little bit about heaven and hell, because some people need to know that there's a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. Some people don't realize the reality and the real devastating and horrifying truth about hell. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, verse through 21. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task, listen to this, of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be offered, be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, listen to me, friends. Passionless churches and passionless Christians will only be consumed with their own needs and will spend their time, their focus, and their finances and their energy on self as opposed to the loss. I'm too busy. I got my job. And they call it focus, but it's really focus on self. They say, well, I'm being centered. No, you're being self-centered. Are you listening to me? We're taking communion today, so we need to get refired up about the lost and about the purpose and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not just there. The Holy Spirit's not there just to make you feel good and to make you happy. Or as the old Pentecostals, I grew up Pentecostal, they used to teach, you know, people get inoculated because the organ would be playing and the shouting would be going on, and they get their weekly shout on. But they had no character throughout the week. They had no conduct of Christianity throughout the week. They didn't sense any calling to reach the lost at all. See, Pentecost power, ladies and gentlemen, should make you a powerful witness for the Lord. Pentecost power should make you a powerful person on your job, a person of character, a person of a reputation beyond reproach. You don't lie, you don't steal, you don't cheat, and you don't run with those that do. Amen. Because the anointing's in you. You're not going to short circuit or squander the anointing on the inside of you, or the anointing on you, on your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let's go to Acts 1 and 8 as we close, because we're going to pray for some. And close with this scripture, Acts 1 8. Let's read it together when you get it. Acts 1 8, New King James Version. They have it on the screen. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the end of the earth. Praise God. How far do you reach? That's what Pentecost power is for. Now, as we close, I want you to think about four missional reaches that every person should be. Four missional reaches. Number one is Jerusalem. So the Holy Spirit empowers and equips us to be a witness for Christ in Jerusalem. That's home and family. That's home and in your families. Your first mission field is your family. God anoints you to be at home. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then Judea, that's your community. Not just, we're not supposed to be just a church on the corner, but a church in the community. In other words, brother, the community should feel that we're here. They should feel us. We should be the church that they go to for power. We know they can pray the power down. Hallelujah. We don't just exist to give us a place to sing and serve and speak. We exist to meet the needs of the community. Amen. And then Samaria. That means other cultures, other colors, other classes of people different than you. Now, like I said, the Holy Spirit will make you colorblind. And it'll make you culturally unconscious. Because some people are so acute to their culture, they only respond to people like them, not people that are different than them or difficult towards them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. You're called to penetrate culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Penetrate it. That means pierce through that barrier. And change that culture. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it says the uttermost parts of the world. That means missions. And we give and support missions and missionaries and people far from us. So you can think of it. We start across the aisle, then across the street, then across the globe. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Do y'all see this today? Praise God. Would you stand with me, please? Just stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.